Hawks fans, strap yourselves in. Strap yourselves in because Sunday, down at UTAS Stadium in Launceston, the Hawks put on a clinic, the emerging force, the emerging powerhouse, as we're calling them around here at these parts. 116 points was the margin over the West Coast Eagles, and the captain was dominating proceedings as always. He's back with us in studio. For a first time in a little while, James Sicily, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
how was Tassie, mate?
Tassie was great.
How good's Tassie?
Mate, I love it down there. Yeah, great result. It was great weather and didn't expect to win by that margin, but by the same token, West Coast absolutely crippled by injury like we all know. Listened to the press conference after of Adam Simpson and he said they only had 26 players to choose from, and I mean, they got two more injuries out of that game. So, yeah, that's pretty cruel and unheard of. All the best.
It does make it hard, no doubt about that, and West Coast are really battling at the moment. I think that's evident for all to see. But for your club, for your team to go down there and do what you did and have that moment where you got to fill your boots a bit and feel good about the world and feel good about what everything has been building to get to that point, that must have been a nice experience for you and the lads.
Yeah, particularly for the younger guys as well, not so much for myself and Luke and some other senior players, but a lot of confidence would have been gained out of that from the young guys. And now we go into this week against St Kilda with some pretty good form and, like I said, a fair amount of confidence that we're capable.
So how do you review that game then? With what you said before and what we all know about West Coast's current situation, how do you review it? I mean, is it picking on bullying the little kid in the schoolyard sort of thing, or is there much more substance to it that you've been able to extract from the review from Sam and the coaches?
We actually haven't had the official review yet. Sam had a funeral yesterday, so we haven't really reviewed it hard, but you know, we've been trying some things that we picked up out of the Melbourne game, so
yep.
To get an immediate result is pleasing, but you still need some more data, more games to see how we're really tracking in that. But we had 70 inside 50s, and that's a great result, and we were able to play a bit more of a forward half game, and as a back line, we only allowed one mark inside 50. So our contest in general was an absolute tick and something that we probably hadn't been as great in this year, which is understandable with a younger team. But
yep.
A lot of positives, and just got to make sure that young guys don't get too ahead of themselves. Footy's not that easy.
No, well, they've worked that out, I reckon, yeah. Already. That's not that easy. It's been a bit of a challenge. But you're right, 7 inside 50s to 29. Like it was front half all the way. So if you're playing in the back half, what are you seeing in the game? What did you like when you were seeing? Because you got a chance to watch a fair bit.
Yeah, well, our pressure was the best it's been all year. There's a pressure factor number that everyone tries to get above, and it's above 2, and at some stages we were above 3. So to put that amount of pressure on allows you to play a forward half game, a front half game. So just seeing the guys chase, tackle, harass. They played a slower brand of footy, so it allowed you to set up a bit easier. You know, they were picking one side and playing really skinny, but effort and pressure was definitely something that I saw in front of me.
So contrast that with the toughest game you've played, and you're going to have to give me your judgment on that, and the different style, different ways you've had to play that game. So you got a chance to set up against West Coast, and they couldn't get through you.
Yeah.
Against the toughest game you've played this year, who would that have been, just in terms of system and having to deal with the things that were thrown at you?
Well, I reckon it would have been the Geelong game.
Geelong second half.
Yeah, Geelong second half, or even the Geelong pre-season game that we played down at Cats Ground.
Yep.
Yeah, teams play different ways. So in those Geelong games, they're making the ground really big and you're isolated 1v1. You don't really have a chance to help out your other defenders, and your other defenders don't have a chance to help you out. So, and you're running back to goal a fair bit when you're playing really good teams, because they're really good field kicks. They'll make the ground really big and then they'll find a mark right in the middle of the ground, and then you're just running back to goal because their forwards are quite crafty. So whenever you play teams that are like that, I find it difficult. But if you're able to set up your team defence and get some delay on the ball and get in the right spots and able to help each other out, it makes it a lot easier.
So we hear a bit of that in commentary these days from footy clubs about team defence and setting the ground up the way you want to do it. How much would you practice in terms of ratio? Would you practice team defence versus the capacity to defend one-on-one? Because you do, as you said, some teams will try and isolate you, not just you, but everyone across the ground, try and isolate you and beat you in a one-on-one situation. So what's the ratio of training for team defence versus the one-on-one situation?
For me, really, what we do is defense. I reckon 70% of our training would be team defense, and then the one-on-one stuff is more extras and craft that you do with the other forwards. I reckon there'd probably be one drill a week where it's pure one-on-one that's in training. The rest is understanding that the game isn't always like that, and you're going up against Mitchie Lewis and the other tall forwards, and we're going pretty hard and working and competing. So. I reckon most of the training's team defence, but there is still an element of one-on-one.
Well, so Mitchie Lewis might be good practice for you this week because Big Max King looked all right for the Saints on the weekend, didn't he?
Well, I didn't catch their game. I think they played at a similar time to us. Yes. So, he's been a good player. So, yeah, he's got the potential to kick a lot of goals. I don't think I'll have first crack at him. Someone else will, but... we'll see what happens.
So you got something you said before that's piqued my interest in terms of teams that can kick the ball. What's the most damaging component of the game? Is it teams that kick the ball well, or is it teams that extract from contest really efficiently? Because I imagine behind the ball, you've got a bit of time when they're working the hands out of contest. You can maybe set yourself up and frame where the ball's going to go. But if teams kick the ball really well, it's probably tough to defend a bit of that these days.
Oh, it's definitely tougher with teams kicking the ball. When they're extracting the ball or winning it from stoppage, you're set up and you're giving yourself the best chance to win it back. So unless you do get beaten in a 1v1 situation or a contested mark happens or they walk out the front door of the stoppage, then it does make it hard, of course. But transition game is the way it's the game sort of played at the moment. So teams that can win the ball back and execute their kicking skills and break the game open that way when... The defense isn't quite set, definitely makes it a lot harder.
So, and you spoke after the game about your role changing a bit. What's that look like now for you compared to what it was for those that weren't able to listen to that?
Mostly last year as well, and the start of this year, I was playing sort of first or second key tall. And I wanted to get back to my old role of, third tall, fourth. Playing on a small and sort of having a little bit more freedom and room to move and play on instinct and read the ball instead of having a sort of negating mindset around not letting my man touch the ball. So,
yep.
I've enjoyed that change of role, and it's quite refreshing, and I feel like it allows me to see the game a little bit more because I'm not so narrow-minded in just beating my direct opponent. My opponents will change and allows me to stay in the game that way a little bit better.
How many opponents would you have on a given day, any given day sort of average? How many blokes would you play on? It'd be your designated opponent for a period of time.
Oh, I reckon I would have played on 5 different players on the weekend, yeah.
So how do you plan for that?
You just stick to your tiers, really. So you'll have your high tier, mid tier, deep tier. So Frosty and Blanky will always obviously stay deep, and Jars and Lockie Bramble and Seamus Mitchell, they'll always stay high. So whenever forwards change their tiers, then you just sort of hand over and go with it like that.
So it's more you play an area of the ground as opposed to a position or an opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's good insight for the fans out there. One young man who did a hell of a job for you on the weekend was Josh Weddle, who was the Rising Star nominee this week for the Hawks. Had 28, kicked 2, set the game up for the Hawks early doors. Must have been feeling good about himself. He's a big rig. What's he got to give to this footy club, do you reckon, from what you've seen so far?
Hell of a lot of run and carry, and he's got a massive engine, and he loves to take the game on. So, and as you said, he's ready to go. Like, he's 90-odd kilos, 192 or 3 centimetres, which is something that you don't really get out of an 18-year-old. He's been great. He's becoming so reliable for us, and... he can sort of play anywhere as well, so who knows where his position on the field will be. Maybe in the future he'll just be positionless. He'll just play where we need him, but at the moment he's doing a great job as a halfback, and he can even play deep on a tall, or he can play on a small because he's got quite He's got good pace. So, yeah, he's doing some good things, and it's been all about him this week, and he hasn't really enjoyed that. He's ready to move on.
he's not big on the limelight. So he wouldn't be a big social media. You're not big on the gram then, if that's the case.
I don't think he is, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you what sort of personality is he, because I don't know much about him apart from just watching him on the TV. He's a bit quiet and reserved, is he?
Yeah, he's a bit quiet and reserved, yeah. He doesn't mind a laugh. He loves his footy. He's a hard worker, and he's got a questionable choice in fashion, but... he's a good fella.
He is. He's a very fine young player, Josh Wirtle. The ultimate utility, old school utility, you just put him in. Put him anywhere on the board. I like that. Yeah. I like that flexibility. And Hawks fans liking it as well. James Sicily has joined us on a Wednesday morning. It's 12 to 8. We get to a break. We'll come back and talk more about the weekend that was, but also what's coming up. And something Paul Roos said this morning, which I wouldn't mind playing to James and getting his feedback on. So we'll have a chat about that after this on Breakfast. Nice to have you with us, 9 to 8. Not a bad morning in Melbourne town. If you're doing something, do it well. If you're listening to us, listen well. We'll try and perform our best for you for the next 40 minutes or so before we hand over to Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse. Sam Wiedemann to join us after 8 o'clock for Bombers fans as well. But we have the captain of the Hawks with us in studio this morning, James Sicily, after their huge win over the West Coast Eagles last weekend in Tassie. This weekend, it's a very different proposition against the Saints. Coming up for the Hawks, we'll have a chat about that a little bit later on. It's at Marvel Stadium at 1:45 on Saturday for those playing at home on that one. But I want to chat to you, James. I want you to listen to Paul Roos, the Premiership coach of the Sydney Swans, of course, an icon of the game, who I was talking to this morning about the world of coaching and just footy clubs in general. He had this to say about the challenges he felt and currently coaches are feeling, he says, with access to players. Have a listen to this.
Well, I mean, the other thing that's become hard, too, is... And this is probably more for the bottom teams, but the players' association, the players aren't there as often now. So it becomes really difficult to improve, and that's certainly a problem, I know, in speaking to some of the coaches in the bottom teams. They just don't get access to the players enough. And the fans don't really understand that now. But the players have an enormous amount of time off, and that was a really great frustration of mine going to Melbourne Footy Club. You know, they now have 3 weeks off at Christmas. They have multiple weeks off. They have half days off here and there. They have four-day breaks, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're a fan of a bottom club, often the lack of development is because the players just aren't at the club often enough to improve at the rate that the fans demand.
So you've heard that from Paul Roos. You have a bit of a listen, a bit of an absorb that information. What's your take on that?
I definitely think we get a good amount of time off at the end of the season, but I think that's earned. Like, we play for 24 weeks. But I can speak for Hawthorn that when the players are at the club, like, we are training hard and the quality of it is there. And for us being a young side, like, we're under no illusions that we need to get better fast. So the guys are doing so many more extras outside of our schedule, or when we start at 9, like, guys are there at 8 o'clock doing touch, working on their game in a full sweat, particularly those younger guys. But I can understand maybe where he's coming from with the four-day breaks, and we do have a lot more time off than perhaps in the past, like maybe 7 to 8 years ago.
But yep. Which is when he would have been at his peak.
I think it's a balancing act of, do you want to completely burn out these young players, or do you want them to be bouncing into the club, wanting to get better and getting really good quality out of their training, rather than just being there and monotonously doing hands and touch and not really enjoying what they're doing, because they have coming in quite tired, or they feel as though they're in the grind. And you don't want to get halfway through a season and you've been flat out and you've still got a half to go. Like, it's a quite a long year. Can sort of see where he's coming from, but I don't think that's affecting our Hawthorn's development as a team and the young guys wanting to get better. I don't think it's not happening at our club.
So how much time, to flesh the conversation out a little bit, how much time during the season, during the week, do you train to get better rather than just train to get ready? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, in the pre-season, it's 5 days a week. Yeah. As an older guy, it might be 4 days a week. You might be picking and choosing the drills and the sessions that you're really going hard at as an older guy. But as a young guy, you've got so much to learn, and you're taking it all in. So in the preseason, it's full time getting in that mode of getting better.
Yeah.
And in the season, it changes a little bit because you're dealing with games, soreness, fatigue. But then there's still times where you are maybe then it would go to maybe 2 to 3 times a week, depending on your break between games, 7, 8, 6 day breaks. So
yep.
It changes in season, but there's certainly in our circumstance, we're trying to get better every session because we need to. We're a young side, we're developing. And that might be different for a team that's at the top with a more experienced players that have already done thousands and thousands of hours of craft to get to where they are, so they probably don't need to do it as much. But we're certainly most days trying to get better.
So how much of this whole conversation that Ruzzi's ignited this morning is in the current generation of players sensing that balance is as important as anything else throughout their preparation phase? Not being there 7 to 7 just grinding all day every day for the sake of it, but rather having a balance of being fresh mentally to come in, as you said before, and come in and get the work done at the right level of intensity so you can actually develop, because there's lots of studies on physical preparation and the mindset you need to be in and the health factor you have to actually develop rather than just grinding through and doing it and not you actually going backwards sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know how to answer your question other than you sort of answered it at the end, but I feel like some coaches think that I find it really difficult to answer that question. Sorry, Harp.
That's right. Don't overthink it. don't overthink it. I just think it's interesting. I understand where Paul Ruse is coming from, having lived probably through a little bit of that era that he was talking about. And there was probably the year after that when I retired that it was full on. Everything was full on. You're there forever and doing full on stuff.
Yeah.
And there now seems to have been a flip to a more balanced approach to it from a lifestyle perspective so that mentally you are more prepared than even more physically than back in the old days.
I think it's an easy way of thinking that if you're down the bottom or not performing the way that you would, you're like not meeting expectations, that more is the answer.
Yep.
And some people get caught up in believing that doing more physio, like running sessions, more touch sessions, more of everything will become a competitive advantage. But if you look at a team like Geelong, like speaking to Isaac and John Segler, they're hardly there. And they won the premiership last year. And obviously there are different points, like their list is completely different with age,
but
it just shows that there's different ways of training and approaching stuff like this that just doesn't go down to you need to train harder. Mm. Like that's an easy, shallow answer, I feel like. You have to have, I don't know what the word is, but the smarts of understanding your list and your playing group and what's going to work for them. It's just not sort of one size fits all.
Well, the science of footy's changed a lot in the last 20 years as well. No doubt about that. You've got the Saints coming up 1:45 on Saturday at Marvel Stadium, which is going to be a huge challenge for you. Tell me, before I let you go, I need to ask you, how were the couple of days after the last time you came in here? Because unknowingly, I put you under the bus and I felt sick about it. And I clearly didn't mean it because I wouldn't want to do that to anyone, let alone you. I felt sick about it. But how were your couple of days? Because you were dragged through just about everything.
Yeah, it was quite a whirlwind because I walked out of here without really any realisation that I've made a blunder.
So did I.
until later in the evening, Gunners sent me a screen grab of obviously what Fox Footy had posted. And obviously wasn't my... It was weird. I was expecting to potentially get booed out in Tassie on the weekend, but it didn't happen, so that was a relief. But
they're back on side.
They're back on side. I mean, that's sometimes Things are better left unsaid, I suppose.
Sometimes they are. Yeah. And I'll let you not say any more just in case something happens from here on in. I don't want to do it to you again. But it's great to have you back in, mate. Well done to you and the lads on the weekend. And hopefully a strong performance against a pretty good team in the Saints on Saturday at Marvel Stadium. Go get them.
Thanks, mate.
James Sicily, the captain with us. He loves Tassie. It's a great place.